So this series of talks are intended to be a mini course, especially for graduate students. And so today, let's say, I will introduce the main notions and some of the results. And tomorrow, I intend to give some sketches of some proofs of some of the main results. And, but before to go into the details of the proofs, I have to give a sort of survey of first of standard notions of fronts and more recent notions of transition fronts which we have introduced recently. So to make these things understandable for everyone. So, as an introduction, the talk will be focused on reaction diffusion equations, and especially homogeneous reaction diffusion equations. We will see that even in the homogeneous case, we can say many things, and many interesting things can be said even in the simplest homogeneous case. So there is a balance between the reaction terms f of u and diffusion terms Laplace of u. So we can, of course, we could deal with more general situations, but I will mainly focus on homogeneous reaction diffusion equations, and they are set in a domain omega. But in most of the cases, actually, omega will be just the whole space Rn. So in the simplest case. And so if the domain omega is not the whole space Rn, we impose a Neumann no flux boundary conditions on the boundary of the domain. And today I will mainly talk about today and tomorrow I will mainly talk on bistable nonlinearities f. So nonlinearity means that there is it's a sort of summary of growth, death, and interaction terms inside the population. So and we assume that there are two, steady states, 0 and 1. So 0 and 1 are zeros of the functions of the function f. And we assume that they are both stable in the sense that f prime of 0 is negative and f prime of 1 is negative. So stable for the associated dynamical system without diffusion. And in the simplest case, we just assume that there is only one single zero between 0 and 1, so theta here, so intermediate 0, so f is negative between 0 and theta, and positive between theta and 1. But we can also deal with more general nonlinearities actually in some of the results, but this is the simplest example and the archetype of such bistable nonlinearities. And the typical example is a cubic nonlinearity, f of s, which is s times 1 minus s times s minus theta, so with this theta, which is this intermediate 0. And we deal with classical solutions u between 0 and 1, so this is a scalar equation. So u stands for density of a population in the applications, and these types of models some of the most used models in applications in population dynamics and to describe biological invasions. So they are used in epidemiology and also in other fields like combustion theory, or they are used to describe transition phases in material sciences. So these types of models are used in many fields, many applications. So for the students who want to know more, some of the most classical reference books on these equations are, the book of Shigezada and Kawasaki, the book of Murray, for applications in biology or ecology. If you want to ask me some references, I can give you later. But of course, these books contain many more models and many more sophisticated models. So today I will focus on mathematical properties of a simple model. But we see that from a mathematical point of view, we can um, we can, let's say, we see that the equations have a very rich structure from a mathematical point of view, and we can say many things to describe the behavior of such solutions. So, and one of the most important aspects of these equations, which accounted for their success, is that they can describe propagation phenomena. By that, we mean the following thing. Let's say, in the simplest case, if we take, let's say, assume that the population is on a real line, so in the one-dimensional case, if there is an initial input, so U0, so here this is for the Cauchy problem, so at time 0, so there is an input, and then at large times, let's say in some situation, so we will see two fronts which are going to develop, one going to the left and one going to the right. And so U is going to, let's say, to converge to 1 in the middle, in between. And then, so in other words, so 1 is going to invade the state 0 with some speed c, which is a priori unknown. And a traveling front is just the picture of this transition between 0 and 1, which moves with a speed c. So this is the simplest situation, so two fronts develop. And so this picture means that one is in some sense more stable than zero. So one is more stable. One is going to invade zero. So we can think of an invasion of a species in an empty space in a space where it is not present at the origin, and then the species invades the whole space at some speed. But we can think of more general propagating solutions in higher dimensions or even in the 1D case in the heterogeneous case. So other things could happen. But what we want to describe is the sort of transition, so how the state 0 can be invaded by the state 1, and what can we say about the shape of the transition between 0 and 1. So by the shape of the transition, I mean, let's say, the shape of a given level set, let's say, so level set 1/2, for instance. So what can we say about this level set 1/2, and so what can we say about the speed of this level set, or how does it evolve in time? And what can we say about the shape of this level set? So the shape of the transition between 0 and 1. But of course, we can think of more general limiting states 0, so other than zeros, other than 0 and 1 in general. But this is the simplest case, 0 and 1. So as I said in the last slide, So let's say the most classical example of transition between 0 and 1 are the traveling fronts. So what we call standard traveling front, I will explain why we call it standard traveling fronts. So solutions which move, let's say, at a constant speed. So the state 1 invades 0 at a constant speed. So this is what is meant by standard traveling front. But we see that there are which we can generalize these notions. We can generalize these notions to include, let's say, to cover the standard traveling front, but also to cover other situations which happen even in the homogeneous case. We see that even in the homogeneous case, there are other propagating solutions which are not standard traveling fronts. So we'll see that, and we'll see how to define the generalized notion of speed in such a case. And we will see that also there are, so even in the homogeneous case Rn, so there are other fronts, even in this simplest homogeneous reaction diffusion equation in Rn, there are some fronts which are not standard fronts, so I will explain why. And then in the second part, I will, talk about some classification results and how to characterize the fronts which have planar level sets. So they are the simplest examples of fronts. So how to characterize them in the class, in a more general class. And we'll see how to characterize the mean speed, of such propagating solutions in Rn. So we'll define the notion of mean speed, and we'll see that the forms have a mean speed in general. I mean, in the bistable case, have a mean speed, and we'll see how to characterize it, even if the solutions are not planar in general. And if I have time, I'm going to talk about some other domains, but I'm not sure to have time, actually. So this was the first part, the introduction, which we have done. And the rest of the talk is organized as follows. So second part will be on standard traveling forms in Rn. So standard traveling forms in Rn. So this will be a sort of review of what is known. What are the main known results about forms in Rn for bistable nonlinearities? And then in the third part, so we introduce generalized notions of transition forms and global mean speed. So how to generalize the examples which will be given in section two. So basically today I think I'm going to talk about 1, 2, 3. So 1 we have already done, but 2 and 3. And tomorrow I think I will discuss about 4, 5, and 6. So maybe today I will discuss briefly about section 4, but I'm not sure. We see. So in section 4, I will show an example. I will show some examples of more general transition fronts that are not standard traveling fronts in Rn. So fronts which are covered by the definitions given in part 3, but which are not covered by the standard cases in the standard traveling fronts. So examples of fronts of type 3 which are not of type 2. And then in section 5, I will discuss about some Liouville type results, and so as I said, how to characterize the planar fronts in more general classes of almost planar fronts with multiple layers. I will see what it means tomorrow, and then the last part will be about the existence and uniqueness results for the global mean speed of bistable transition fronts in Rn, whatever their shapes may be, and whatever the planar speed may be. So we'll see that tomorrow. So the second part about standard traveling fronts. So I think most of you know it, but especially for the students, it's important to recall the main results which we have to have in mind to understand the following. Let us first begin with the one-dimensional case, so when omega is the whole real line R. So in this case we talk about the equation ut equals to uxx plus f of u in 1D. And the standard traveling front is a solution which is invariant in a moving frame with a speed c. So in other words, u can be written as a function phi of the variable x minus ct. So as time runs, the profile is the same, it is just shifted in space when c is not zero. So when c is positive, the solution moves to the right, otherwise it moves to the left. And when c is equal to zero, it is a steady state. And so in the bistable case, remember that f, let's say, is assumed to be a bistable function. So f vanishes at 0 and 1. And f is first negative between 0 and theta, and then positive between theta and 1. So in this case, it is known that there is a unique possible speed cf, which depends on f only, and a unique profile, phi, which depends on f. So the profile is unique up to shifts, actually, because if you shift in space or in time, actually, the shifted solutions are still solutions. But the profile is unique up to shifts. And And this equation in the homogeneous case reduces to this homogeneous second order ordinary differential equations, phi double prime, so the diffusion term, plus CF phi F prime, which comes from the derivative in time, and then plus the reaction term F of phi F in R with limiting conditions 1 and 0. Okay? So it's a sort of boundary value problem with limiting conditions at 0 and 1. And this type of problem can be solved, let's say, with the phase plane analysis. So analysis is a phase plane phi prime. And let's say the standard references are the articles of Aronson Weinberger and Fife MacLeod in 77 and 78. And the speed CF, so as I said, in the bicycle case, the speed CF is unique. It exists and it is unique. And it has the sign of the integral of F. Because, I will just show you why. So I will just explain in one minute how. So why the speed CF has the sign of the integral of f, for those who have not seen it. So you just take the equation. And you multiply by phi f prime. And then you integrate on R, assuming that you have checked that you can integrate the derivative phi prime and phi double prime converge to zero when x goes to plus or minus infinity, so you can integrate, okay. And so you can, so the integrals converge, you can prove that the integral converges, so they converge, so the phi converge exponentially to its limit 0 and 1. So you multiply by phi prime and then you integrate by parts. So when you integrate by part, this term phi prime, phi double prime, you can integrate it, so phi prime square over 2, and then between minus infinity and plus infinity, it's equal to 0. And then you get, so CF times the integral of phi prime square in R, plus the integral of F of phi F phi F prime in R. And this is the derivative of capital F of phi F, when capital F is a antiderivative, the primitive of little f. So this can be written as, in other words, as minus, actually, because of the boundary conditions, 1 at minus infinity and plus, and 0 at plus infinity. So this is the integral of F between 0 and 1. And then you get that CF has the sign of the integral of F between 0 and 1. So in particular when the integral of F is equal to 0, then CF is equal to 0. And this is a particular case when the integral is equal to 0 is when you take F of S equal S times y minus s times s minus 1/2, just a balanced cubic nonlinearity. This is the most classical case. So here on this slide, just for information, we have to have it in mind. So this existence and uniqueness result, so especially the uniqueness of the speed, is in strong contrast with other results for other nonlinearities. So when f, for instance, is positive between 0 and 1, then there is a continuum of speeds. So the set of speeds is equal to a semi-infinite interval, c star f plus infinity. And when f is furthermore assumed to be, let's say, less than its slope, than its tangent at the origin. So f of s over s is less than f prime of 0. So in other words, the per capita growth rate f of s is maximal at 0. Then in this case, c star f is equal to 2 times square root of f prime of 0. So the linearized speed, so-called linear speed, which is obtained by the linearization of the equation at 0. And in the general positive case, when f is just assumed to be positive between 0 and 1 and vanishing at 0 and 1, then so the minimal speed c star f is given by a more general formula, mean sub formula, which was derived by Hadler and Rothe in 1975. And this formula implies actually the KPP formula in the KPP case. Yes, sorry, I forgot to say what KPP means. So Kolmogorov, Petrovsky, and Pishkunov in 1937. Very important paper. Very interesting to read this paper. So it's just one slide about that, because we have to have in mind that that other results are available for other nonlinearities, of course. So let me come back to the case of bisable nonlinearity f. So f is negative and then positive. So another very important result is in the 1D case is about the stability results of traveling fronts, a global stability result for initial conditions which are, let's say, front-like in the following sense. So if you assume that the lim f of u0 is strictly larger than theta at minus infinity, and then the lim sup is strictly less than theta at plus infinity, so you are away from theta at minus and plus infinity, and you are between 0 and 1, let's say, then the solution u of the Cauchy problem converges to the planar front, so it converges to the 1D front, phi f of x minus ct plus a possible shift c, and the convergence is uniform in space as time goes to infinity. And you can say even more, but this is global stability results, very, very important result, which was obtained by Pfaff and MacLeod in 1977. So this is one of the most classical examples, and we still use it, actually. We'll see that in some of the proofs we'll use, and we will refer to this result. Very important stability result. And for other initial conditions, other things may happen. So if we consider, so the other classical class of initial conditions are the compactly supported initial conditions. So then we have to consider two cases. So in the first case, when CF is positive, so take u0, so u0 is between, let's say, 0 and 1, and assume that the planar speed CF, which exists, is positive. In other words, you assume that the integral of f between 0 and 1 is positive. So in other words, 1 is more stable than 0 in terms of energy. So 1 is more stable than 0. We could think that 1 is going to invade 0, but this is not always the case, because just from this simple observation, so if the integral of u0 is small enough, then u is going to converge to 0 uniformly in space as time goes to infinity. So why can we say that immediately? Because we can, so from the maximum principle, we can bound u from above by a solution of the of a linearized reaction diffusion equation. You can say that f of u is less, you can say that f of u is less than the Lipschitz norm of u times u. You can always say that. And then you bound from above the solution u by exponential the norm of Lipschitz, the Lipschitz norm of ft, times the solution of the heat equation, the standard heat equation, with the same initial condition. So when you do that, and let's say when you do that at time one, you get that u of 1x is less than exponential Lipschitz norm of f times 1, okay, times the integral in R of the, so the convolution of the fundamental solution of the heat equation at time 1, convolution with u0, which is the solution of the heat equation at time 1. And then, so you get that, since so at time one, so P, the fundamental solution of one x minus x, is just exponential minus x minus y squared over 4 times 1 divided by square root of 4 pi times 1. So you get that, you get x, you get square root of 4 pi on the denominator, and then you just bound the Gaussian kernel by 1, and then you get the integral of u0 of y dy. And then this is less than theta if the integral of u0 is small enough. And this upper bound does not depend on x, so it's a uniform upper bound. And then once you have that u of time 1 x is less than theta, less than theta minus epsilon actually, then you can bound from above the solution u of t plus 1 x by the solution of the ODE, zeta dot is equal to f of zeta with initial condition zeta 0, which is theta minus epsilon. And because of the profile of f, this upper bound, which only depends on time, is going to converge to 0 when time goes to infinity. And then u, by comparison, u is going to converge to 0 also uniformly in space when time goes to infinity. Okay. And then, on the other hand, if now you assume that u0 is larger than theta plus eta, so with positive eta on a large interval, so something like that. So you have theta, which is the intermediate zero, and then you have theta plus eta, which is above, and you assume that u0 is compactly supported, but let's say larger than theta plus eta on a large interval. Then in this case, the situation is completely different. Then we'll see two fronts, as I showed in the first slide. So two fronts are going to develop on the left and on the right. So in other words, so let's say for positive x, u of tx is going to converge to phi f of x minus c f t plus some shift c plus. So uniformly on the right as t goes to infinity. So you have a front on the right moving with speed cf, the unique speed cf. And then on the left you have similar thing. So u is going to be close to the front phi f of minus x, because minus x is going to go in the left. Minus x minus cft plus xi minus some shift xi minus uniformly on negative x as t goes to infinity. So you have two fronts developing. And this is also in the paper of Mike MacLeod. For the students, I strongly encourage you to read this paper. It's a very, very important paper. Okay. And more general things can be said, actually. So there were recent results which are more precise in some sense. If you take a monotone family of monotone continuous family of initial conditions, which are monotone which are in L1, compactly supporting in L1, and then obviously in L1, there is at most one critical value between the extinction, so convergence to zero, and the propagation. So the more precise result. I'm going to mention them, let's say, in the case of the whole space Rn. But we can say more, but at least we have to have in mind these very important results. And also we have to observe also that when CF is non-positive, so when the planar speed, when the unique speed CF is non-positive, then the solution U is going to converge to zero uniformly in space as time goes to infinity. So whatever the size of the initial condition may be. So because you can bound from above solution U, you can bound from above solution U by the minimum of two fronts which go, let's say, which go to the center now. And then by the maximum principle, these two fronts, when you take the minimum of that, then the solution is going to converge to zero when CF is strictly negative, let's say when CF is equal to zero So the two fronts are stationary, but the minimum is still a super solution, and the solution starting from the super solution is going to converge to a stationary solution monotonically in time, and this stationary solution can only be zero. So we get the uniform convergence as time goes to infinity in this case. So now in the case of the whole space Rn, so in the whole space Rn, so one dimensional front still exists, obviously. You just take u of tx, which is phi f of x dot e minus cft. You take any direction, any unit vector e, and this is a solution of the equation, obviously. So phi f is the 1D profile, and cf is the 1D speed. So you can do that. So these solutions are invariant, let's say, in a moving frame with speed c in the direction e, and the label sets are parallel hyperplanes which are orthogonal to the direction e. Okay. And of course, this planar speed cf is unique from what I said before, and the profiles are unique. And there have been several stability results of these fronts, so stability results with respect to some classes of initial condition of perturbations, because now the perturbations are higher dimensionals in general. And so I've mentioned some of the recent, so some of the references. So Livermore and Chin, so this it goes back to the 80s or 90s, I don't remember exactly, and also Jack Chin. And the other references, Matano Nara, Taniguchi, are more recent. But basically, the fronts are stable, even if more general things can happen, because you have some freedom in the orthogonal directions in some sense, so more general things can happen. But basically, the fronts are stable. And if now the initial condition, let's say, instead of being close to a planar front, if it is compactly supported, then we have the same, let's say, type of discussion as before. When the speed cf is positive, if the integral of u0 in Rn is small enough, so the initial mass is small enough, then u is going to converge to zero uniform in space as time goes to infinity. We have the same type of proof as before. And on the other hand, if u0 is larger than theta plus eta, larger than theta on a large ball, then solution is going to spread in all directions with the speed of cf in the following sense. So if you take any speed c strictly less than cf, then the minimum of the solution u is going to converge to 1 inside the balls of radius ct. So inside balls of radius ct, solution is close to 1. On the other hand, outside balls of radius c prime t with c prime larger than cf, then the solution is close to zero. So at large time, you have this type of profile here, this picture. So in other words, the solution spreads with speed cf in all directions. You can be actually more precise than that about the location of the level sets. But at least we can say that, so there is spreading speed in all directions. But there is, because of the curvature effect, there is a logarithmic shift, a logarithmic delay for the position of the front with respect to the position CFT. I can be more precise here. You can even take C prime is equal to okay. You can take C prime is equal to CF here. You can take C prime larger than or equal to CF by comparison, and from the fact that there is a delay. But there is spreading in all directions. So in other words, if you take any level set, let's say U is equal to 1/2. If you take any point on this level set, so if you take a family of points x of t such that u of t x of t is equal to 1/2, then the norm of x of t divided by t converges to cf when t goes to plus infinity from this result. And this result is also this result was obtained by Aronson Weinberger in a paper in 1978. So it's a very important result. And with Henri, we reformulated and wrote a different proof in our book. And there were also more precise results about the description of the transition between extinction and propagation, which were obtained by Du, Matano, and Zlatos. So somehow there is only one critical threshold between extinction and propagation. And these two results were obtained recently. And in the second case, when CF is non-positive, then as in the 1D case, actually, and it follows from the 1D situation that C, that U converges to zero uniformly in space as time goes to infinity. So even if these results are well known, actually, I put some time to recall them because I'm going to use some of them tomorrow in some of the proofs tomorrow. So we have to keep them in mind. So the five MacLeod paper and Aronson-Weinberger paper are some of the most classical references in this field, actually. So I strongly encourage you to read them. So now, so after the planar front, so we'll see that there are other fronts, and the results are more recent now. So there are other fronts which do not have let's say one-dimensional symmetry anymore. And so we still consider the whole space Rn. And let us assume here that CF is positive. I should have said before that in the previous slide. So I distinguished between the case when CF is positive and CF is non-negative because I considered compactly supporting initial condition. If I consider initial condition such that 1 minus U0 is compactly supported, then the consideration will be opposite. So you just replace 1 by 0, obviously. And just you the sign of CF is it's opposite in some sense in the conclusions. So let us assume that CF is positive here. And then there are other fronts which are not planar anymore, but which have an axis of symmetry and which are invariant in a moving frame. So in other words, and this axis of symmetry is, along the direction of propagation. So this solution can be written as function phi of the norm of x prime. So x prime are the first n minus 1 coordinates, comma, xn plus ct. So here the fronts move, in the minus xn direction, just to fix ideas. So these fronts are invariant in the moving frame with speed c in the vertical direction, downwards, and they have an axis of symmetry in this vertical direction. So they only depend on the norm of the orthogonal variables and on the vertical variable. And these fronts are known to exist for, so if you fix any angle alpha between 0 and pi over 2, the red curves stand for the level sets of the solution. So level sets have this shape, and they have an angle, asymptotic angle alpha at infinity, and with the axis symmetry. And the speed c, so the vertical speed, speed c is uniquely defined and given as the ratio between CF, the planar speed CF, which exists, and the sine of the angle alpha. So does everybody see why this? So where this formula comes from? Or do I have to make a picture? Is it clear for everyone? Does everyone see the reason why we have this formula?
Ask who is 100% sure.
So who is 100% sure? So not so many people. So maybe I'm going to. So in this case, I'm going to.
1 is on
the
top and 0.
Yeah. So yes, one is on the top. Yes. So yeah. Actually, the solutions are monotone in Xn,
So why do we have this formula?
Yeah, so asymptotically, actually the solution is going to be, the form is going to be planar, asymptotically far away from the axis of symmetry. And you have an angle alpha here. And the vertical speed, so the vertical speed is equal to c. So let's say in time one, the solution moves with the vertical speed c. And then, in the same time, these planar fronts move with the normal speed cf in time one. So we, and then, since they move, let's say, orthogonally with respect to their normal sets, then you have this picture, and then c is equal to cf divided by sine alpha. So this is an asymptotic picture. You have to prove that that you can do that by passing to the limit and so on. But basically this is the idea. Actually, the first results were obtained by Paul Fife when alpha is close to pi over 2. And similar results were obtained by Aragus and Scheele, actually, in dimension 2, when alpha is close to pi over 2 for systems. But the ideas, the strategy of the proofs is more, let's say, comes from dynamical systems. You want to connect two fronts which are close to each other when alpha is close to pi over 2. But for general alpha, so for any alpha between 0 and pi over 2, so the existence was, in the bistable case, was obtained by Régis Monod, Jean-Michel Rogjoff, and myself. And also in any dimension n, and also by Ninomiya Taniguchi in dimension 2. And stability results we had also obtained in some of our papers with Régis and Jean-Michel. We had obtained stability results. And also Jean-Michel and Violaine Roussier-Michon obtained, let's say, stability results for more general classes of perturbations. And the solutions can oscillate at infinity. If the perturbations somehow not localized at infinity along the planar, along the angle alpha, along the level sets of the fronts, and non-axis symmetric fronts, so traveling fronts with non-axis symmetric level sets, so were constructed by Taniguchi, solutions which have pyramidal shapes. Somehow for each edge of each edge of the pyramid has an angle alpha with respect to the vertical with respect to the direction of propagation. Okay, and so Taniguchi also proved the stability of these pyramidal fronts. Okay, so the construction of these fronts used the approximation of the equation in a bounded domain. So when we look for solutions which are invariant in a moving frame with a constant speed, the parabolic equation reduces to an elliptic equation. And so we want to solve an elliptic equation with sort of limiting boundary values, if you like, at infinity. And we can do that by approximation in bounded domains, so bounded rectangles in dimension 2, or bounded cylinders in higher dimensions with suitable boundary conditions, and then we pass to the limit. But the difficulty is to pass to the limit and to get the precise angle at alpha at infinity, because we pass to the limit only locally uniformly. So we have to work in order to get the asymptotic profiles of the solutions at infinity. But basically the strategy is this one. Okay, let me also mention here, come back to the case of KPP functions f, just to mention that for other non-linearities, actually the set of solutions is much richer. And if we take KPP, Kolmogorov, Petrovsky, Pishkunov, Conke functions f, then in this case there is an infinite dimensional manifold of curved traveling fronts. So this front, so let's say just to fix ideas, they propagate in the vertical directions, but now they are not axisymmetric anymore and even not pyramidal, so they, many, many more fronts exist, and there is an infinite dimensional manifold of curved front, which is parameterized by the set of measures, by a set of finite Hadron measures, non-negative Hadron measure on a set of directions and speeds. It's more complicated, but so more general things can happen. Because in the bistable case, actually, basically the fronts which we constructed, as in the axisymmetric case, the fronts that we constructed with Jean-Michel are basically the only ones. So, but in the KPP case, many more things can happen, actually. But let me come back to the bistable case. In the bistable case, now when the speed CF is equal to zero, what is it going to happen here? So I first discussed the case when CF is positive. When CF is negative, actually, you just replace 1 by 0, and you get the same result, actually. Replace 1 by 0. But the solution, so the angle alpha is still between 0 and pi over 2. So the region which is invaded, somehow is smaller than the region which invades. So when CF was positive, 0 was below the cone, and 1 was above. When CF is negative, this is the opposite. And alpha has to be between 0 and pi over 2. This is one of the results we obtained with Regis Mounot in a different paper. So the aperture alpha has to be less than pi over 2 when CF is positive. You cannot have a front which has a convex, such that the level sets are somehow convex. They have to be concave when CF is positive. If one is above zero. Okay, now when CF is equal to zero, situation is a bit different. You cannot have fronts with conical shapes, with conical level sets, because it is still again from the picture which is here. From the picture which is still here, when CF is equal to zero, you cannot have a positive angle alpha. Because if alpha were positive, then C would be equal to zero, because CF is equal to zero. So you cannot have this picture with a Lipschitz continuous level set. But there still exists some traveling fronts with non-Lipschitz continuous level sets, and which are still invariant in the moving frame, let's say with speed c downwards, and which are axisymmetric with respect to the axis xn. And you can do that now for any speed c, for any positive speed c. You have some fronts like that with non-Lipschitz continuous level sets. So here, for instance, this is in red, this is level set 1/2 in the moving frame. And in dimension 2, the level sets have an exponential shape, so like a minus hyperbolic cosine. When dimension is high, 3 or more, the level sets have a parabolic shape, so less steep in some sense, because of the curvature effect. In this case, so you have a parabolic shape, so the shape of the front is like minus norm of x prime square times constant. And this is a result which we had obtained with Xinfu Chen, Yongsheng Guo, Hirokazu Ninomiya, Jean-Michel Rogjoff, and myself in 2007. So there are still standard traveling fronts in this case, but with non-planar level sets. And more surprisingly, actually, even in this case, when CF is equal to zero, other solutions exist which are not monotone in Xn anymore now. So solutions which are still invariant in a moving frame with speed c in a vertical direction and which are axisymmetric, then such solutions were constructed in dimension 3 and higher when c is close to zero, and such solutions have this shape. So, for instance, if you take the level set 1/2 in the moving frame, then you can have two connected components. And these two connecting components are very far away from each other at infinity. And in between these two connected components, solution converges to one at infinity, and then zero inside, zero outside. But you can have also more than two connected components. And these results were obtained by Delpino, Kovalchik, and Wei recently. And but these solutions are, so these solutions still move with a non-zero speed, so they are not stationary solutions. But of course, when CF is equal to zero, when the speed CF is equal to zero, we know that there are steady solutions, that there are stationary solutions, stationary fronts. So there are stationary solutions connecting zero and one. So X monotone solutions, layered solutions, multiple ends and saddle shape solutions. So even in this case, actually the situation is complicated, and the classification of the solutions, of the stationary solutions, is still unknown. The complete classification is still unknown. So many solutions exist, and especially Xavier Cabré worked on that. There are two observations which are fundamental. So first of all, that all these fronts converge to zero and to one far away from their level sets, uniform in time. This is obviously here because actually they are invariant in moving frame. So in the moving frame where they are invariant, actually the solution converges to zero and one far away from the label set, and so this property is uniform in time. And all the level sets of all these fronts move at a normal mean speed, which is the absolute value of the planar speed CF. So the asymptotic speed of the level sets, not of the front itself, but of the level set, is CF. So, for instance, in the case of conical shaped fronts, the speed of asymptotic speed of the level set. So, if you take at two different times, you look at the distance between the level sets. The distance between the level sets is asymptotically proportional to the planar speed times time. And this is true for all these fronts. And so we have done one and two. Do I have to stop here? Maybe show some simulations. In order to introduce the lecture of tomorrow, I'm going to show some numerical simulations to motivate the introduction of other solutions. Solutions were done by Lionel Rock. So, for instance, if we consider other domains, now the domain is a curved cylinder. So you want to study the propagation in a curved cylinder. So you can see that the front propagates inside the cylinder, and far behind it is red, far ahead it is blue. So, but the transition zone between the blue and the red is uniformly bounded in time. But it's very important to see that. So another situation on dilated cylinder. So the transition, what is very important is that the transition between the red and the blue is uniformly bounded in time. Of course, for the propagation to hold, some conditions of domain have to be satisfied, especially so Henri, Juliette, and Guillemette worked on that, and Emmanuel Premier and Guillemette, Chapuisat had worked on that. So there are some conditions, but when solutions propagate, the important feature is that the solutions are unique. So the transition between zero and one is uniformly bounded in time. And maybe I shall stop here because the rest is a bit technical here.
It's better maybe to stop here to motivate the talk for tomorrow. So tomorrow I will go a little bit faster actually to show some proofs and.
Thank you.